I just want to exhort us for a few minutes and then we continue with one or two other things. Please let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to verse 41. Mark chapter 4, from verse 35 through to verse 41. On the same day when evening had come, he, that is Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filled. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May the Lord open up his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brethren, thank God we had a vigil on Friday, come Saturday. And I know that a lot was done in the spirit realm. A lot of things have taken place in our lives. But the truth of the matter is, no sooner than God gives his word, we encounter challenges of life. Now, if you have not encountered a challenge between that Saturday and today, get ready, it's going to happen this week.
Amen.
So, I want you to understand one thing, that by the time these challenges come, you don't need to be afraid. You need to have faith. It was the key thing that the Lord said to these people in verse 40. The Bible says, "But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I'm sure the old King James will say, "Oh, you have little faith." Little faith translates to no faith. That's the reality. You either have faith or you don't have it. Now, many of us cannot seem to appreciate and understand the fact that when God gives you his word, that Satan also hears that word or perceives that something has taken place. And he's going to do everything possible to scuttle what God has told you. The means, the avenue by which he does it is fear. So what did he do here? He caused a storm to arise. Now how do I know that? I can tell you because the Lord himself rebuked this. How do you rebuke something that you brought him? He rebuked it because he wasn't the one who brought the storm. The storm came from an enemy. And why did the enemy bring the storm? Go to chapter 5. I'll just read a little bit there. And you will see, you will understand why this has happened. Chapter 5 verse 1. From verse 1 rather. "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tend him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.'" You know the rest of the story. Eventually the Lord Jesus cast out the demon and the man was free. Satan knew that this was the assignment, that they were coming to deliver somebody from him. And he had passed information to his people. That's why they went and said, "What have you come to? It's not that they are tormenting us." So because of that, the first thing he did was to ensure that they never even crossed. In seeking to ensure that they never crossed, he raised his cup.
My brothers and my sisters,
every time the Lord sends a word to you, I want you to understand one thing. There is going to be a storm arising. Something will arise to scuttle it. Let me take you somewhere. And you will now understand that what was the crucial thing as far as the Lord Jesus was concerned with his disciples, was their faith. It is the same thing with you and I. What is crucial is your faith. There is nothing you can do about the storms of life arising, but there is something you can do about how you deal with it. Satan is bound to raise his opposition, but you must find yourself in a place where you can effectively deal with that opposition. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. I'll take it from verse 16. Psalm 105 from verse 16. Moreover, he, that is God, called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He set a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. That's false. Verse 16 is acting as though the famine preceded Joseph going to Egypt. Is that not so? This famine was caused before Joseph was sent. But when the famine was going to arrive, was a different matter. But it had been called. And because of that, God had positioned Joseph. How did Joseph get into Egypt? The Bible says, who was sold as what? A slave. They hurt his feet with feathers. He was laid in irons. You would call Joseph a serial convict, more or less, because his brothers sold him off. He was in chains. He got to Potiphar's home, was seen to be doing well, and the next thing, he finds himself in prison, in chains. So one would wonder, if this Joseph is telling you that the Lord spoke to me, you know, what God are you talking about? And you are in chains here, you are in chains there, you are in chains there. But God had a plan. Look at verse 19. And this is the crucial verse in this entire story. He says, until the time that his word came to pass. What word now? The word that God gave him, that his brothers would come to bow to him. I don't know that this can excite us, but there was something about the brothers bowing to him and him being in Egypt, being in leadership. And then there was also the issue of the sun, the star, the moon bowing to him. And even Jacob thought that he was the one. It was not a personal matter. God was talking about the leaders of this world bowing down to Joseph. But until the time that that word came to pass, please, what happened? The word of the Lord did what? Tested him. A lot of times we are faced with the tests. These challenges of life, they are the tests that God permits. Some of them he orchestrates, some of them he permits to test whether we believe the word. In Mark chapter 4, the Lord, that was it, he went to sleep. What do you think the disciples should have done? They should have gone to sleep. Just as he went to sleep. Because is that if Satan wants to build in you fear. Now, another word for fear, because there are many ways of looking at that word fear. One of the words for fear is the fear that keeps you paralyzed. There's also fretting or anxiety. Many of us get so anxious and we begin to do the wrong things. That was what was happening here. They began to take a boat to want to bail out the water. Meanwhile, the more they tried to bail it, the more the water came. They should have just gone to sleep. Along with the Lord. By the time they're all wet, the Lord will get up and say, he takes out from here, who brought you? We need to get this into our system. I see a lot of Christians, they go to church in the morning. I've heard of those who went to church in the morning and committed suicide in the evening. And you wonder, did they not hear the word of God? What was it that happened to them? How did they despair of life so much as to commit suicide? Let me tell you the truth. You cannot walk with God if you are not able to face the challenges of life. Romans chapter 5. We're going to pray very soon. Romans chapter 5. We just want to exalt ourselves. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. There's a reason why I'm reading from verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Is that not so? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you become born again, one of the key indicators is what? Peace in your heart. Joy unspeakable. And righteousness, which is your desire not to love sin again. Verse 2. Through whom? That is through Jesus Christ. Also, we have access by what? Faith. Into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we come to church. We hear a word that brings peace, that brings joy, that brings the glory of God into our life. We are excited. But more than that, look at verse 3. He said, and not only that, but we also glory in what?
Tribulation.
Let me put it differently. Not only do we glory in our justification, in the fact that sin has been dealt with in our life, we must also glory in times of tribulation. He didn't say we should weep. He didn't say we should be sorrowful. He said we should glory also in times of tribulation. Why? Knowing that there's a knowledge that we acquire. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience or endurance. If there's one thing that God wants to build in us, and we know that long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit, is to persevere. How do you get perseverance built in you when you always dispute or you always want to avoid tribulation? They are standard. Tribulation can come in any form. It can come from your spouse. It can come from your siblings. It can come from those very close to you, those that you trust. All that God is doing is testing you. The word that He has spoken. Are you going to hold on to that word, or are you going to look at the tribulation you are facing? In verse 4, it says, and perseverance, character. Oh, who has given Bible there? Let's have the Living Bible translation, and then we'll go and pray. Now in verse 5 it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been what? Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Spirit of God that was given to us poured out the love of God. If you love God, you cannot have the belief that God hates you so much He wants to destroy you. He gives you a hope that never makes a shame, knowing that we are going somewhere with this, and the Lord is going to do something. Give us the Living Bible. Verse 3, just through 3 to 5. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. Where's the mic?
We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know.
Stop. We can do what?
Rejoice too.
Is that what we do? Do we rejoice? He said we have a sad countenance. We want the whole world to know that we are going through one difficulty or another. Brethren, I also face this because I'm not looking at anybody's face. Each man must stand on his own and face that tribulation, face that trial. We didn't get to where we got to playing jokes. We got there having to face the challenges of life. Hey, no! We didn't get there running away. We got there facing it, standing firm, rejoicing in tribulation. Continue, please.
When we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us.
They are what, please?
Good for us.
I mean, if you had the love of God in you, you would know that what has come to you is good for you. Why is it good for you? It builds you up. Have you seen the trees? The kind of conditions they go under. They face the sun, they face the storm, they face everything, and yet they become productive. They bring forth fruit. Just look for a tree that is in a nursery. You will find a tree that will never be productive. You only put them in the nursery while they are still young, where any animals can trample on them. The moment they become a little stronger, you must transplant them into the real world, where they face their challenges. Look at that little farm out there. I planted it and I'm eyeing it big time. Because in the next 3 to 4 years, by the grace of God, I should be reaping some coconut from it. But right now, what is that thing doing? We planted it here and we decided. And we discovered that the thing are taking roots all over the place. This small thing is stretching its roots, looking for places for water. So in a drought, it will never be caught now. That's what families do. So all that time you see the family looking short or whatever, it has sent its roots to everything that is called water. So that when there is a drought, it is not going to be uprooted. It will stand firm. Whatever tribulation now comes to the family is ready to stand. Continue, please.
They help us learn to be patient.
They help us learn to do what?
Patient.
Brothers and sisters, this is the problem. We are too impatient. Too impatient. The reason why these problems are there is to learn to teach you patience. You cannot solve the problem. So why don't you just patiently wait for God? Then many of us, we now go ahead, we want to do this, you want to solve the problem that you can't solve on your own, and you say you're a child of God. I heard the story of a young boy who was trying to get a mango from the tree. He kept throwing stones, the father was sitting nearby, and the boy kept throwing, and nothing was happening. And finally, he turned to him and said, Daddy, help me now. father got up, stretched his hand, and pulled that. The man was enough for the father to pull his hand and eat. Then the best thing the boy was doing, he wants to pop the meat to die. By the time he got the man himself was injured from all the throwing that he had thrown. But the father was there. Why do we think that we can that we can handle the affairs of this life? Why do we think we can do that? Where do we get this message from? Finally, please read it, please.
And patience develops strength of character.
Strength of character.
Yeah.
Strength of character. That's what God is looking for. God cannot trust a man that has no character. Joseph was tested. His character was proven before they could make him what he made. I know many people who preach about how he will come out from the prison to be a prime minister. Many people have failed woefully when they became prime minister that way because their character had not been proven. But if you are going to last long in the things of God, your character will grow. Many of us are failing left, right, and center. Sometimes the thing that is annoying you will even come from the pastor himself. Then you must come down and recognize that there's something in this. That we don't do this all together because we are all in the flesh. Finish it, please.
Character in us and help us trust God more each time we use it until finally our hope and faith are strong and stable.
You see, this is what it does. It helps us to trust God more until we have the hope. That hope is so firm that you know that you know that you know that heaven is your home. That's where you are going to go. Let's stand up. I want us to talk to the Lord. I want us to pray to the Almighty God this evening. Say to him, Father,
Father.
Oh brother, I have very weak, I'm very weak here.
Father,
every tribulation that comes, let me find joy in it.
Let me find joy in it.
Let me overcome every single one of them.
Until
you have built strength of character in me. Begin to pray. Ask the Lord to help you to grow in faith. To grow in faith. The time has come when we must trust God no matter what. Regardless of what we see, we must trust the Lord. We have not been invited to a party. We have been invited to develop character. To develop the nation that trusts God no matter what. What are the challenges of life that you are facing? That is different from what that person has faced. The Bible tells us the first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. It says there are no temptation. How you that is not common to man. But God will win the temptation. Make a way of it. Every trial that comes to you, it is because you are warning God. You know that it is coming. We need to get ourselves to the place where we are connected to God. We must abandon this concept of linking cooking to men. The Bible says, curse is the man that puts his trust in man. Now, blessed is the man whose trust or whose hope is the Lord. Talk to the Lord, brethren. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
I have no other but you. You have no other God.
is the only God you have, then just say to Him, say, Lord, I don't have any other one except You. Help me, Lord. Henceforth, not to look at any other person but You. Not to focus on any other person but You. Henceforth, to put my trust in You. Faith is the help of man. Don't look at the pastor, he can't help you. Don't look at that rich uncle you have, they can't help you. Faith is the help of man. Put your trust in God.
Thank you.